All right. Well, as tempting as it was to share this message in my bathing suit, I did all you a favor and didn't do that. All right. So be grateful about that. If you are visiting with us this week, we've been going through the series in Ephesians chapters 1 to 3. What we're going to do is then take a break for Advent, do a series for Advent, and then we're going to come back and do Ephesians 4 to 6. So, but I chose to name this series this, to the praise of his glory. And the reason I've read Ephesians many times, for some reason it really struck me how many times Paul uses this phrase. And especially early on, we have four verses today, and he uses this phrase twice. So it's like really been on the front of my mind, to the praise of his glory. Because what we have seen so far, Paul tells us, all that happens in salvation in Christ. Like, we are completely lost, right? Like, someone was up here and said, that's not the rope of hope at all. Let me show you. It's the opposite, right? That's the shroud of hopelessness. And that's who we all, Paul's very clear, that we were all this, that we didn't plan anything. We didn't do anything that God in his son, Jesus, he planned to save, redeem, to by the blood purchase our freedom, to adopt us as sons, and on it goes. We didn't do it, right? Which, you know, I don't know about you, but I constantly can't find my eyeglasses. Is it just me?
No.
Yeah. So I'm going to save my own soul? Me? Right? So it's a comfort, but it does beg the question, well, what do we do? Like, there's got to be some purpose. If we can't save ourselves, and that's all God, what do we do? And then Paul just constantly reminds us to the praise of his glory. We have a purpose to live. And so if this is us, and then in Christ, right, we are free, right? Now we step into what he's given us, and we are kind of like the moon shines the sunlight. We shine and reflect the light of Christ is in us, right? And so far this has worked, right? And I wish, if I had one of these for everyone in the room who's in Christ, right? We are not despondent Eeyore people shaking our fists at the world. We are in hope. And so we become, as believers in Christ, as families, as churches, right? We become like that to a world that's very confused and very lost and very broken. And people should see us, not perfect, God's doing that. But he sees the light of Christ in us. And so we step into the purpose, and that is for the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you again for bringing us here. Lord, you have an appointment for all of us. Many in this room know you extremely well, and I'm grateful. And maybe they're in a great, joyous season, and I am so thankful. Or maybe they're struggling. And Lord, I pray you'd give them what they need. There's others who might not know you, Lord, and I pray they wouldn't leave here without your spirit settling on them and giving them the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, use me as your vessel. Get me out of the way. They don't need me. They need you. Thank you to the praise of your glory, Jesus. And in his name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, good. So this is, we'll see in a second why, but it's called Sealed. And it's just chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. I said a couple of weeks ago that starting at verse 3 all the way to our English Bibles, verse 14, it's one long Greek sentence that Paul wrote with a lot. It's complex and it's astounding. Thankfully, in English, we have some punctuation to help us, right? And so far, we have seen a lot that he says we have in Christ. But in verse 11, he picks it up. He says, in him. Now, if you've been with us, I've constantly telling you how often, just in this one sentence, Paul says, in Christ, in Jesus, in Christ, in him, in him, in him. He wants us to realize it all, we have to be in him. It's like I the first week I had the apple on the apple tree, right? Like if an apple falls, a luscious apple falls off the tree, you better eat that thing, right? Because give it a little time, it's going to rot. The only way to grow and thrive is to be in the tree, the same as those who are in Christ. Fruit only comes from being in him, and then if you are in him, you can't help but bear fruit. So in him, what, Paul? What? We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him, his purpose, right? Who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We saw this a couple weeks ago, this theme that God, all the way in the past, before the foundations of the world, God decided in his love, the counsel of his will, his plan. Like, not my plan, not your plan, which is it does beg some questions, right? And it's okay. You're human. You're having some questions. You can ask them. The Lord's, he can hear it, right? But sometimes we don't have the answer. We have the revelation he's given us, and sometimes we're like, yeah, but, and it's like, there's a couple of reasons, I think, probably more than that, that God doesn't necessarily give us the answer to every question. The first is he is an infinite, sovereign, holy God outside of time. You, me, we're not. And so there are answers that we could never possibly grasp of God and his infinite love choosing us in Christ before we even messed up. There are those questions, right? And man, I want you to imagine I'm talking to like Elon Musk about how he sends rockets into space, right? One sentence in, he'd be like, it would be like Charlie Brown and his teachers. Maybe there's some brilliant people in here and you would stay with them a little bit, not me. And he's just a really smart human, right? The other reason could be that we would never be able to grasp all the answers, but the other reason could be it's none of our business. Kind of like if you ever have a two-year-old in your life? Be like, hey, brush your teeth really good before bed. Why? Because you'll have stinky breath. Why? Because your teeth will be rotting out of your skull. Why? Forget about why. Then you'll never get a date, never get married. You're going to live in my basement for the rest of your life. Brush your teeth. Do what you're told. Don't ask any more questions. All right, I'm not dad of the year, but you get it. All right? And yet, I think that's sometimes with God. So again, I know we have questions. If it's all him and what? He didn't mean for this verse, Paul, to confuse us, but to comfort us, right? Because you and I, we do have plans. You wake up, plan A, B, C, D, E, and F. You get to B, you're lucky. Because things mess up, you mess up, you get lazy, procrastinate, someone else messes up, because we're not infinitely God. But he and his plan always happens exactly the way he wants. And that's why we're like, thank you that it's his plan. Right? That he chose. So what? What do we do, Paul? So that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. Glory is just light. It's a manifestation of God's glory. In the Old Testament, you had it in the wilderness with his people. They'd see his glory. We see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration shining temporarily what we'll see for eternity, his glory. And it's worthy of praise, right? His glory is worthy of praise. And so he says that those of us who hope in Christ, is that you? I'm not hope in Christ and, not hope in your superior intelligence, not hope in your money, not hope in your husband or wife or your parents. All of those will fail. Is your hope and anchored in Christ alone? And the beautiful thing, if it is, this plan of God's salvation is all the way from the past. It was real, right? It was never up to me. It was never up to you. And so I just, as we were constantly doing, invite you, if you've never put your hope in Christ, just do it. Man, it takes so much. I know. Sometimes you're just struggling. You're like, no, I think I can do it. I'm not sure. Man, do yourself a favor and just give in to what the Spirit's prodding you, that spark of just saying, Jesus, you're the only way. I want to put my hope. I can't put my hope in this world. What's it going to offer me? All the way in the past. Your hope is in Christ. And so if you're in Christ, then your purpose is what? It's to, you can't save yourself. You didn't do that, but you can, by his strength, live to the praise of his glory. And that's a really good, difficult question for those of us. How's that going? In your present life, the things that you do each day, how much of it, because I know we're in process, there's no perfect person here, right? But how much is it to the praise of his glory? Like marriage, when you're in Christ, it goes from, what is she going to do for me? Well, what is he going to do for me? To, how is our marriage going to be to the praise of his glory? Your job, maybe you got a really cranky boss. If he's here right now, don't look at him or her, all right? Don't do that. Or maybe you got passed over for a promotion, whatever it is. And you can look for a new job. Maybe God will lead you there. But are you working to the praise of his glory? Our children, Man, I love our kids. I love cheering for our kids. We have amazing kids. I want them to win championships, spelling bees, DECA competitions. I want to see them the best and get straight A's and do amazing things. And I love when our kids win, and I am sad when they lose. But here's what I'm here to tell you. Give me a C student. Give me an average athlete, but somebody who's on fire to live to the praise and glory of Jesus. Parents, that's what it is. My two kids, I've done made a lot of mistakes, as I've already demonstrated, and yet my prayer constantly for them, I want them to succeed. I don't want anyone toothless living in my basement. I don't want that. And I think we'll be okay, but I don't want that. But I ultimately want both of them to live for the praise and glory of Jesus. Our time, how's that going? Is it to the praise and glory of me or to him? Even our finances, and you might barely have two pennies to rub together. But still, God calls the generosity of giving him your first and best and being generous with whatever you have. Or maybe you have more than 2 cents to rub together. The same, because here's the thing. Some of the most miserable people on the planet are rich because they think, right, this is it. This family heirloom that your great-granddaughter is going to sell at a tax sale. Right? It's all going to be, it's all for naught. It is, I do a lot of funerals. I've done huge funerals here where we couldn't find parking. Parking at CVS, got in trouble with them. I've done 4 people around the grave. I've done full military honors. I've done bagpipes. Right? And everywhere in between. Here's what I know. Big, little, small, whatever it might be, in the end, some people say some words, sometimes there's some music, some prayers, hopefully. We eat cold cuts or casserole, and we go home. And I'm not trying to bum you out. It's a reality. I was thinking of this even myself. Hey, if God takes me today, probably a decent amount of people will show up, and I'm glad to be there for my family. Worship Jesus, eat, laugh, remember some of the dumb things I did, and know I'm fine. I'm with Jesus. In him, to the praise of his glory. So whatever, because that's all the way before you were ever a breath of life, he chose you in Christ to be the praise of his glory. Isn't that amazing? And that's our job. Now, it's a past event, yes, but it's also take root in the present. Watch what he says in verse 13. In him, there it is again, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, which means good news, right, of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, comma, and he keeps going. Gotta love Paul. Someday I'm like, Paul, period, breath. Come on, man. Brilliant. All right, so it's in, God chose in the past, but it takes root in the present. An actual belief that Jesus did die in my place, that he is the only way, that he did rise, and that he is my Savior and Lord, that has to take root in your present. And it will from past to present, right? So many of you in your room, if you're in Christ, you remember when that happened, right? Like I said, I was using poor Ethan all weekend. But he had heard the gospel from his family, church, school, right? And it took that one pastor. And by the way, if I start glaring at you, that means it's you, all right? I want you to know that. But it took that time. That's when that was his moment, right? That it took root. God had already decided it. Like Spurgeon called him the hound of heaven. And trust me, that happened to me. I fought it and fought it. And if you're here, well, yeah, but I have this excuse and I have that excuse, man, I said them all. I've told you before, I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. I got one story. I hated the gospel. I believed in God. I believed in prayers. I believed in trying to live a good life, all that. I didn't, but I believed in it. The gospel made me angry. And if God is the hound of heaven, my now wife, Heather, is just second place of a hound as well. Because, man, she was all over me. You got to believe in Jesus. He's the only way. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I'm not believing that. But I loved her, so I stayed with it. And a lot of you heard the story. She basically, without kidnapping me, made me go all the way to Illinois to a college conference for missions. And I was angry. I don't want to go. I don't want to become one of those holy roller Christians. I play sports, and I'm good at them. I wasn't at all. All right? But that's what I thought. And I get there, and I have the worst attitude. That's how I know. God chose me. I definitely didn't choose him. I didn't want it. And yet, the gospel kept being shared by my roommates, my floor mates, the speakers, the musicians that week. and Heather constantly, right? And finally, in that moment, even though I'd had it shared many times and God had chosen an eternity past, that moment where I just said, Jesus, I don't know why you want me, but you got me. It became a present reality, your salvation, your hope in Christ. And it does for all of us. And what happens in the present, it says that you are sealed with who? The promised Holy Spirit. God promised him, no, Old Testament, Jesus promised when he ascended, right? The promised Holy Spirit seals you. Now, let me show you some pictures, all right? These are some artifacts I have in my collection. I'm kidding, I don't really have them. Those up in the upper left-hand corner are seals from ancient Mesopotamia. And what a seal is, it's like a signature sort of, or a proof of ownership, and you would stamp it, right? Now, the really ugly, scary-looking thing, the bigger picture there, that's from Egypt. And what they would do in ancient, and they still do today, is they will seal or stamp ownership on cattle or animals. Still do that today. It's hard to steal a cow from someone who's like, that's got my seal on it, bro, right? But that's too big. So most think that that was used on human beings. Morbid and gross. But slaves. So you were seared. You were sealed. And now everyone knew who you were owned by. So what Paul says is in the present, as that salvation becomes a reality, you are owned by him in Christ. Now, I'm not going to have anyone line up and get seared today, I promise. Because what the Spirit of promise does is he seals our heart. He seals our whole soul. We become his. And it becomes, that salvation becomes not just a past reality, but now a present reality. And we are sealed, owned, and guess what happens? We start looking like him, right? Not perfectly, but you will start to see evidence, right? Almost right away. And if you're in Christ, I hope anyway, you might remember, even if it was a long time ago, right? Like if you were, and I know we're all over the place here. Like maybe you grew up, you don't even remember not hearing about Jesus. And that's great. I love boring testimonies. Like your mom gave birth, the deacons were in the room praying and lighting incense, right? And man, you got born and they wiped you off and you off to Awana you went. And you started memorizing verses, right? Praise God for that. A lot of us, that's not our story. You're more like my story. And whatever it might be, you saw it, right? Certain things fell away like that. For me, it was profanity. I loved to swear. And then it was like, it was almost non-existent. Hear me. I still, man, I'll be in pain. I'll kneel on something and it'll come out of me. I'm like, that's still in there? It happens. But for the most part, it was just gone. It's like I was all of a sudden not an impatient person. We've seen testimonies in the baptisms this weekend of people said all of a sudden I wasn't angry anymore. That's just the seal of the Spirit and the evidence of your salvation. And so, man, I remember in my early 20s, a couple years as I started to grow in Christ, we went to this church actually. It was pretty small. And when you have a small church, kind of on the older side, when you have a 20-something-year-old, just be like, I'll do whatever. Guess what? They signed me up for everything, right? And so I was doing youth ministry. I was doing teen Sunday school, Christian ed committee. They even asked me to be an usher. You remember that? Just handing out bulletins, collecting money. I went to a meeting. It was mostly guys like 70 years older than me. And they were like, Jamie, we're glad you're joining. Do you own a suit? And I said, I'm out of here. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. Everybody's got their place, but you see it. You see the evidence. Not perfect, right? And that's the question. It's another hard question. If you say you're in Christ, where is the evidence? Is there that God's doing, that Spirit's working in your life to the praise of his glory? In your marriage, at your school, on your campus, to the praise of his glory. Now, there's one more section. And think about it with me. We've had the past. God decided our salvation past, takes root in the present, but that leaves something else, the future. That's really important. Now, this last section, especially if you're struggling, I want you to hear me on this one. It's very important. You need to know, however you might be feeling right now in Christ, your future's secure. Now, watch what I'm going to bring you back to the end of the verse we already saw. Sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, you know what a seal is, right? It's that promise, but it's that ownership. But royal seals were usually, you couldn't undo them. Like, see the story of Esther. Like, the king of Persia, boom, he couldn't even undo it. They found loopholes because they're human beings. But God, when he seals you, he will never lose you. Jesus said in John, right? He said, all the Father has given me, I will lose none, because it was always him. So you're sealed, but watch this. Who is, so it's still the Spirit, and finally he's going to end this sentence, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That guarantee, you've guaranteed things, right? I guarantee I'll be there. Hopefully you did. I guarantee I'll pay you back. I guarantee. It's saying I'm definitely going to do it. And so the good news is we might guarantee it, and maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't, but God will always do what he guarantees. And that word guarantee, it actually means a little bit more than that. For us, it might be down payment. It might be pledge, right? Something like that. So what it is, right, when you do a down payment or you do a deposit on something, you pay some, which is a guarantee that you're going to pay all of it. And so what he's saying in this verse is that those who are in Christ, the Spirit is the guarantee, right? So you get a taste of the Spirit now, and you get the fruit, and you get blessings, and you will. That's nothing compared to the inheritance that is coming. And he's going to pour it out on those in Christ for all of your future. Amen. And so God's plan of salvation is for the future, and I want you to hear me. I've already said, man, there's been times in my life where God is just so evident, and I feel so excited about what he's doing. And I love those times, but there have also been times where I felt and experienced just the opposite. Anybody else? Like, I'm not, do I even believe, is God, like, I don't even know. I don't even know where I am, what I'm doing. I've shared before, one of the worst moments of my life over 13 years ago was when I got a call from my dad that my mom had died of a heart attack. And I still, it's over 13 years, I still want to call her. Like, it gets a little easier, but the hole is still there. It's like I feel incomplete still because I was really close to my mother. And so when I heard that, now you do all the things. I was actually running on the treadmill at the time, slowly, but I was running. And so I got off and I did all, I went home, I had to cancel a meeting for that night, I had to tell Heather, tell my kids were much younger then, and tell them why Gigi was not going to see her anymore, and called my brother, my sister, my dad, all that, made plans, all that. But eventually, because I was on the treadmill when it happened, I had to take a shower. And so I got alone in the shower, and I'll never forget, that's when, you know, you get alone and you can't distract yourself anymore, and it just flooded. And I just remember leaning my head, water on my head, and just all I could say over and over again is, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I don't know how many times I said that. Help me. Isn't that the most beautiful prayer ever? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. About 3 years ago, maybe now, I was raking leaves, another help me, Jesus moment, by the way, for different reasons. I have oak trees, and those are stubborn. So it was probably early December, finally decided to fall to the ground. Cold out. I was listening to a sermon and podcast, right? I remember striking me. And because I was really going through what they call a dark night of the soul, man. I just was like feeling empty, feeling like, God, Jesus, I'm. And I just remember, because it was that cold, my face hitting the very cold ground and just sobbing before the Lord. I'm not enough. Why me? I can't. The answer from Jesus every time is, of course you can't. I'm enough. I'm enough. How often before trying to speak at a funeral or just waking up and going, I don't know, why me? Why'd you choose me? I can't, right? And I know sometimes it seems like I have it sort of all together. Probably not, but maybe. But I don't. And that's good. Jesus, I'm not enough, but you are. That's another beautiful prayer. So I said, you need, if you're in Christ, that was God's plan from all the way then, before the foundations of the world. It's taken root in your heart. You see some of that sealing evidence, but you're weary right now. You're grieving. You're sick. You're upset. You're afraid, whatever. You're depressed, anxious, whatever it might be. And you're just like, I don't know. You just fix your eyes and know he will not lose you. You are his. And so even, I think all the awesome stuff you do in the name of Jesus to the praise of his glory, it's shining, it's beautiful, it will go into eternity with you. But I also think on your knees just saying, Jesus, help me, that also is to the praise of his glory. And saying, I'm not enough, but you are, is to the praise of his glory. And whatever you might be going through and whatever might hit your life, to be able to be like Job did, a lot of tears, a lot of complaints, he still was able to say, I know my Redeemer lives, and I will stand with him. And you can say the same, because it was never about you. It's always been him in you to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Lord, again, I pray for anyone who came in with all the excuses, and yet you have sparked the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, and they're sitting there and they're afraid or they're not sure. Would you just give them a flood of assurance that you are the only way, Jesus, and that they would repent of their sin and believe, and we would love to see them baptized. Lord, I pray for anyone who is in Christ and is really going through it right now. They're feeling heaped on shame or guilt or pain or illness or grief or confusion. Lord, you know. I just pray you would just wash your spirit over them and give them the assurance that they are yours and you will never let them go. They can trust you. And Lord, I pray for, so thankful for those in good seasons right now. But Lord, the temptation of the enemy is always there to pull us away and to live for our glory. I pray, God, you would just cover us with your knowledge and your wisdom so that we might, in our marriages, in our singleness, in our sexuality, in our workplaces, in our money, in our time, that we will more and more and more, with the strength of your spirit, live for the praise of your glory. And we ask all of this humbly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to, let's stand and sing together.